Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about moved by the Holy Spirit. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. It's June 5th, 2022. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. It's a reminder of the day the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind and just empowers the believers from the inside. He's moving on the inside of us now. And we've got the author of the book. It talks about in Peter that no prophecy was given by the prophet's own interpretation, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They spoke and they wrote and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see an example of this in Peter in the day of Pentecost. He gets up and he begins to speak. He begins to speak scriptures and fulfilling the prophecies that God had made. And just recently, my daughter and I were talking yesterday about in the history of the world, printers are a new thing. The ability to print and to copy books is really a new thing. When you look at the timeline of the history of the world, this is a new thing. It used to be that people wanted a copy of a book. They had to go in and they had to scribe it. They had to hand copy the book. And we were talking about this, about how the scribing, I believe, is something I've made a daily practice, just scribing the Bible for me, is one of the accelerated keys to learning. It used to be the way that people would learn things, is they would scribe and they would practice reading out loud. It's a secret, I believe, of accelerated learning. But we were talking about this yesterday with my daughter. And just this morning, I got up and in my own email, just had a reminder of the scribing again today. We've got this Holy Spirit moving on the inside of us. He's going to teach us. He's going to guide us into all truth. God showed me one time. I was seeking God because I'm an author myself. I've written some books. And God was showing me one time what matters is not so much that we read the book. What matters is we have an encounter with the author. What matters is we have an encounter with the author. The Holy Spirit inspired the writings of the Bible. We have an encounter with God, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, and we have an encounter with the author. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, just as a time of praise and gratitude. That we've got the Holy Spirit. We can be moved by that same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of the scriptures. We can be moved. We've got that same Spirit. Just a time of gratitude for that today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, but unfortunately, life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. I was stressed out all the time and had the weight and pressure of life on me. At the time, I was running my personal training business, and my business was very up and down. I got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. And I remember getting to the point, just going for a walk around the neighborhood with my wife and telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. It wasn't for a lack of seeking, because I've been traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts in the world. I've been reading books, taking courses, seminars, not just health and fitness, but all different topics of life. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. Then one day I came across the challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. And then you keep going like that until the end of the month. And then you start back over again. So I've been doing this for a little while. And then one morning I came across Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That verse got me thinking. What's the most valuable thing we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom. So I made a commitment. I want to pass on manuals, lessons, and teaching for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek after God. It's funny, the email I was reading this morning said, if you have a new problem you want to solve, read an old book. You have a new problem you want to solve, read an old book. Timeless truths found in the Proverbs, found in the Bible. That same Spirit that wrote that is going to connect with you on the inside. Guide you into all truth, show you things to come. He's going to teach you what to do. That's what began to happen for me. God began to show up, began to teach me, began to train me. But it wasn't always easy. I had to unlearn some of my old ways. I had to do a lot of unlearning. Had to break free of some old patterns, got put in some impossible looking situations at times, only to see God just continue to show up over and over again. And I just began to document what he was taking me through. Over the course of about 10 years, it turned into a whole program with a series of books and courses and partners that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Helps us to remember him, to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he went through. All that he suffered, all that he went through for us. Not for himself, but for us. And on the other side, I think it's important we remember what his sacrifice means for us. How he connected us back to God. We got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us now. We can walk out this life together with God now. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture. Coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we're talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. So let's get started with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Because ultimately, our relationship with God has got to be brought down into today. To bring him into today, to help us make today a masterpiece. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. But before we get into the fundamentals, let's remember God's got a process. When he took the people from Egypt to the promised land, they crossed the Red Sea, they go through the wilderness, they got to cross the Jordan River, and then he tells them, it's going to take more than a year for you to possess the land, to possess these promises that he'd made them. Well, I believe God takes us through a similar process in our own life. And to make it all very simple, what does this process entail? I think it just takes believing that God's got something better for our life and that he can bring us into it. Not that we can do it in our own strength. It may look impossible for us. We've got to simply believe. We've got to be willing to move forward, take that first step and stay tuned into him. And then we've got to learn to rest and to trust and to allow him to do the work. It's putting off our old ways and learning to rest and trust in him. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. We're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrongs. Delighting in the truth. Always hoping, always trusting, always persevering because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to receive all that God has for us. When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has and gave it to Jesus. And one of our biggest goals, I believe, in life is learning how to receive all that he's given us by faith and learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the fruit or the result of it in our lives. So this day today, we got access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. He's got health and energy, purpose and grace. He's got time. He's got resources, finances. It's all available today to be received. We got to learn how to get it flowing through us. So our first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. It's going to turn up the brightness of this light within us. It's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart, where we have hearts that understand God's grace. We become more fixed and consistent in it. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? What are we meditating on all throughout the day? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Just pick scriptures and just be rolling them over and over in our mind all throughout the day. His unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us and all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to cast those cares over onto God. And we're going to rest and we're going to trust in him. We're going to magnify him as bigger than the problems. Because he can solve them a whole lot better than we can. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, and just rolling those problems over and over, just toiling in our mind, trying to figure it all out. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because when we're out of position or magnifying the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And one of the biggest symptoms is just this heaviness and weight and pressure on the inside. Like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness. Like you're trapped or you're stuck. Low energy is another big symptom of this. Emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're dreading things of the future, envisioning all these worst case scenarios. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's a fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless because God's doing the work. And his peace and joy and love and spirit and power, mind and wisdom, all those good things, they just begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. And if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Because every day life's trying to knock us out of position. And sometimes we miss it. So how do we turn it back around quickly if we get off track? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. If we receive that forgiveness from him, we forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever is coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us, navigate us, but we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. Lately, we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of the journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe one word, maybe a sentence that we keep rewriting every night before bed as a way to reinforce God's standard, his way of doing things in our life. And these filters help to navigate us throughout the day. It might look something like the following. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short statement just helps to navigate us throughout the issues of the day. And I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what are you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day because he's trying to navigate us throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take a couple minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up in him again. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I was toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I was getting ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I was getting behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? I felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1. The very first words we see God speak, let there be light. So I've begun to start my days that way. The very first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing sets the tone for the whole day. Then we start walking out that plan together with God in partnership with him, full confidence that he's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at the scripture today. So today, the Bible tells us it's about 9 a.m. The Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind. We got this reminder for us today. We've got the Holy Spirit with us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. It says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. For no such prophecy was ever brought forth by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along. Some versions say carried along, some versions say moved by the Holy Spirit. Just taking some time just to meditate today. just a time of gratitude. We got the Holy Spirit with us. That same Spirit that wrote all these scriptures, all these prophecies that moved the men and women of the Bible to write those stories and to do the things that they did. We've got that same Spirit. So, Father, we thank you. We're asking for wisdom and insight into this. It says we must understand this. Above all, we must understand this. We're asking for understanding of this today, Lord. We're just so thankful for the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is a reminder of it today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever. But he chose to send his one and only Son. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself even unto death on a cross. Not for his own sins, but for us. To be rejected and betrayed and spit on and hit and mocked and ridiculed, whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. He was destroyed by God. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same Spirit that raised him from the dead, that same victorious power, now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Think about the Holy Spirit, holy, holy. Think about holiness today. He makes you holy. He makes us holy so that we can have this Holy Spirit in our life. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's the forgiveness of sins. He releases us from darkness. He transfers us into the light. Can have this blood sworn oath, this new covenant with God. He's with us. He's for us. He's working for our good continually. So, Father, we just thank you for all these reminders for today. Opportunity to remember. We thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right, I want you to think about, we're going to talk about practical application of this into our workouts today. Carried along, moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. Well, in both the Old Testament and New, the word Holy Spirit has translations similar to breath or wind. Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind. Well, in our exercise, most every other culture in the world, other than the United States, has some sort of exercise system that coordinates movement and breath. And I want you to think of it this way. When you do your exercise, your breathing should be leading or moving your body. Inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. You inhale as you recover. Think, bring it in to recover, exhale. The exhaling leads the movement. You begin to exhale first, and that begins to lead the movement. And it should feel like your movement is just carried along by the breath. It takes all the effort, all the force out of it. The movement is leading the breath. Think of that today as you're going through your exercise. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center. .com